This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Amen. And they've got that sound that sometimes when the news comes up, the similar tunes, sometimes we can recognize it. Before the news comes up, there's a time for advertisement break. Okay, so just give me a two-second slot here. That is gone now. Anyway, for advertisement break, probably you didn't pay attention to the announcements, but on the 5th of August, please remember there's no church service here. That's the good news, okay? Because there's better news. Well, we are doing something with the rest of the churches in Swakopmund that is never done before, which I see is a huge step towards unity, a huge step towards coming to one place. On the 5th of August, we will be celebrating with all the other churches that they are doing exactly the same as we're doing, cancelling our morning service, saying to one another, you know what, there's nothing more important to us on this day than uniting under one name and worshipping together. So please make a note in your diary, the 5th of August, we'll be sharing the message there on the at the dome, and there will be family and brothers of you in other family or in the family, in the bigger family that will be there, and it's just a huge privilege for us to do that. I can say to you, you know, it's not been done in the rest of Namibia. This is the first for us here. We're really trying to trust God to roll that out to the rest of the towns in future, where people would really trust God to get to that place once a year, just to unite and say, hey, you know what, we can put aside differences. Yeah, but we are talking about differences this morning because that's the complexity of family. We all are part of a family naturally, but also spiritually. I stand here this morning thankful, same as in the first service when I look at the people. Some of you I know well, some of you I don't know that well. But the reality is I cherish so many good memories and thoughts about so many people of you, at different people, different places in life, you know, and that God has brought us together as a family under one roof. You know, naturally, in the natural, we all have family. Now, a lot of people sometimes say, you know, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. But there's some truth in that as well, in the spiritual side as well. I grew up with two brothers, and we loved one another. But, you know, I've got three girls now, and I've grown to become a daddy girl, or just girls on my side, and it's just sometimes I become used to that. And then when I'm around friends with boys, I realize I've adapted to that environment in a way. You know, nothing wrong with the boys. I mean, I was in a family with just three boys. So I think we especially need to pray for the mothers with just three boys, or more than one, or just at least one, you know. They need an extra amount of grace, you know. And sometimes I can't tell my kids what we've done, because that is serious stuff, you know. I don't want them to do what we've done, and I don't want them to go there. But, you know, we've had special times. We loved one another. We had intimate times as brothers as we grew up. But we also, the reality of the fact is that a lot of times we had a lot of fights. Blood, sweat, and tears. And the tears were not always the fights. Sometimes my dad had to get involved and to help us, you know, to sort us out and to bring unity, restore unity through various ways to get us to that place. And I remember my grandparents would often come and visit on a Sunday evening after they came from church. And what would happen is they would sit there and we would just have coffee. And then, especially my two younger brothers, they would start playing, and then the play would result in a fight. And then my dad would get involved and say, okay, this is enough. And then give each one a hiding, and then it's too much for grandfather and granddad. Oh no, we can't take this, it's too much. Don't do that with the kids, and then they're off. We had numerous such memories, but just because they love, that's a special place, you know. But dad had to bring unity, and that's beautiful, you know. Nothing wrong. I look at my own kids, and I don't think we get angels from heaven. They're just normal people that's born in sin, and then it's beautiful how they would just spend time together, love one another, and really miss one another when away from one another. But then at certain times, they're just nasty. They're not nice with one another. And you're like, it doesn't make sense to me. You just loved one another, just appreciate one another, and now you act like this. This is so selfish sometimes. But that's the reality of life, you know, in a family, and we need to grow and we need to move on to that place. And the same in spiritual family. Unfortunately, you didn't have control over who walked through that door this morning. If we had a choice about who's supposed to sit here, I mean, it would have been probably looked differently. Wouldn't you agree with me? Because we probably would have chosen the people that we like and that we associate with, that we identify with, that we say, you know what, I like you, you're my friend, just join us in this family. But if we are truly a godly church that we say, you know, God is in control of who's walking through those doors, we keep on inviting people into the presence of God, then it means that some or another time we have a variety as this morning that's joining together under one roof. Different ages, different personalities, different characteristics, different spaces and places in the Lord. You know, older, younger, grayer, blacker, whatever. Color, culture, all of that. Now, in any other house, you probably agree with me that is a recipe for a bit of a disaster, except for in Christianity. Because there's something beautiful that binds us together and supposed to bind us together called love, you know. And I'm talking about that thing louder than words. We can talk about love this morning. We speak about that and say, you know what, you need to love your brother. But there are certain things in life that's louder than just our words. And how do we bring that together? I think it is important that we realize, because God has got the final say, if we live by the Spirit to place each person in the body, that the complexity and the dynamics of that variety, God uses that to shape us. Can you imagine if we just pick people that's like us? We'll never get to that place where we are challenged, where somebody communicates something and I didn't mean that, and that person said this, and that, all of that bunch is just a great recipe for spiritual growth. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Is it just me that agrees with that? I'm going to ask you to preach with me here this morning. And the reality is, it's good. It's good. It's not always nice. You know, sometimes we bake the cake and then it doesn't come out like we expected it to be. But the mixture, it's out there. We need to make it work, you know. And it's not new to us. Scripture is filled with examples. In actual fact, and we're going to look at it this morning in Romans. Paul writes to the Romans, but Romans can be divided into three sections. The first part is where he deals with the gospel and the sinner. How does the gospel save the sinner? And then he addresses in the second part, how does the gospel relate to the Jew? And then in the last part, he deals with what does the gospel, or does it bear to our conduct? How does it relate to our general conduct? Now, I just want to say, you know, when you look at the book of Romans, you've got if you see, especially in the last part that we're going to look at this morning, is that you've got a diverse congregation there. Group of people that came back from different backgrounds, Jew and the Romans. They coming together, Greek, they're all in one bunch, and you can imagine back then they had different holidays, different festivals, different things, and Paul needs to address that in the bigger picture for the sake of unity. Okay. Even as you sit here, you've got different opinions, and that's fine. I don't want you necessarily always to agree with me on everything, as long as we're still moving in one direction. Sometimes we look at it from a little bit from a different angle, but as long as it doesn't cause division amongst us, there's room for us to differ from one another sometimes within that safe space. But I just think sometimes within that complexity, we hurt one another. We sometimes, let me put the point in there before we go full stop there, before we carry on. Let's get into Scripture first, before I share a few thoughts. Romans 13, verse 8, we're going to read from there, and then also Romans chapter 14. I don't think we've got it up there, so if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans 13 and 14. We ain't going to read the two chapters, it's just too long, so I'm just going to jump around there. Romans chapter 13 and 14. Romans 13 verse 8 says, owe nothing to anyone except, there's an exception here, for your obligation to love one another. You came here without debt. This morning you're leaving with debt. And that is loving your brother and sister, loving the person. Can you just for a moment just turn to the person next to you and just say this to him? I owe you love. I'm in love with you, but that wouldn't probably come. I owe you love. Okay, you're in debt this morning. Amen? You're in debt. You owe that person love next to you. Whether you agree with that or not, that's what Scripture says. Okay, bad or good news, you're in debt this morning. That's reality. You thought you came here. I just informed you you're in debt. Go home. That's you. Love one another. Okay, not just your wife or the children. Let's jump to verse 14. Paul writes, he says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. The word clothe in Greek means to imitate that person, to put yourself into that person's shoes, to stand wholly on his side, to totally get into his worldview, almost in a way. Put yourself in his shoes. Okay, let's carry on. Verse 1 of chapter 14, and we're going to read a couple of verses there. Except other believers who are weak in their faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. Amen. You're going to help me here. Okay? Pay attention here. It's very practical stuff here that Paul is giving us. For instance, one person believes it is all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Amen. Hi, come on. It's no talking about meat and vegetables here. You need to pay attention here. It's my favorite scripture to justify why I eat so much meat. Anyway. You never had a revelation until this morning. You thought you had a fresh revelation. Okay, let's carry on. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is like Christmas. I couldn't resist throwing it in there. Each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord as on a special day do eat to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and of the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for the Scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and or of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. Okay, now he can carry on. He's just expanding on that. Let's stop there for a moment. I noticed something out there in the world. I noticed it in my children. I noticed it in myself. And it's probably a lot of times the reason for one of the major reasons for the pain out there, for the pain in the world, for the pain in the church. And is this thing me? My desires, my wants, my needs, and I'll do everything in order to just to serve that, to accomplish that. Because the world says to us out there is, and even advertisements are geared to that, is what can we do to make you happy? You just need to buy this. You need to live here. You need to drive that. And if you do this, you will be content and happy. Everything revolves around me. And even maybe our family, we can even draw the line around it. That if we can just do this, then it will bring contentment in your life. That is the spirit of this age that the Bible is talking about. A self-centered, narcissistic, and it's still, till this day, you know, it's in marriages, it's in relationships, it's in the church. The sad thing is when we come to Christ, we are already programmed. We grew up with that mentality. And now we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, Lord, I forgive me for my sin. And you truly repent and you come to that place and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You make a turn and a direction. But somewhere in that soulish part of us, that's inherently part of us that needs to be redeemed, that needs to be changed, there's a selfish part of us that still likes to be in control. That still, we bring that into the church. The sad thing is, even when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to redeem us, to cleanse us, to sanctify us and to move us to that place of holiness in Christ with the sanctification process, then we bring that and if it's dangerous when we start stepping upwards into a position of authority with selfish agendas. My needs, what I want to accomplish with an agenda where I'm going to take this. And it's dangerous for the church, but also dangerous for one another when we live in this family with a selfish agenda. Now, it's very subtle. You know, it's not always as obvious. But the reality is we need to be aware of that, that we are born like that, that we like to be in control. Come on, we can agree on that. I like to be in control. Sometimes I like to know what will happen. I like to know, God, if I do this. I mean, it's great qualities, but that we're bringing that with us. And Christ challenges us to get to that place of surrender. That is why worship, just on a practical note, why do we lift hands? Not to be a funny church. It's a sign of surrendering. Okay? That's just a bonus. Okay? You have to pay for that. R5 for that one. But anyway, you had to study that yourself. But maybe you knew that. It's a place, and we're communicating, God, I am surrendering unto you. I'm open. I mean, we do this. I'm an open target. Lord, enter in. Speak the truth. Say what you want, what you need, or what I need to hear. And for us, in the context of family, it's important that we realize this morning that the reason we sometimes hurt one another, or there's confusion, or misinterpretation, or a lack of, or maybe we don't meet each other's expectation, it's because many times we still want to be in control. And it's opposite of what I see in Scripture here. Amen? I'm going to keep on asking you till you agree with me. Because Paul wouldn't write in Romans 8 verse 14, specifically saying to us, those who are led by the Spirit of God, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Distinguishing between sons and children. He wouldn't distinguish between children and sons if it wasn't able that would happen within the church or within that environment. Children act like that. I mean, my children act like that. I mean, if you don't have children that act like that, please share with me the secret of them not being sometimes selfish. That just once, some of them are more selfish than others. But naturally, we are geared for that, for mine. This is mine. This is only mine, you know. Now we have children that's different, that's great. But we need to work on that aspect. The same as we work with them, we need to work with us this morning. And hey, listen, you always want the biggest part of the cake. Or biggest slice of the cake. I mean, I shared with them this morning, last Sunday. we left church here, and I had my little girl with me, and she's got this ability just to, I don't know, she's got this way just to get into my heart, and she figured this out, you know. So sometimes I would get home, and she would run, she'd jump, and she would hold me, and then just cuddle me. And I know, there's something coming here. Just for about a minute, she would just love me. And I tell you, as a father, that's probably some of the most exciting things coming home and experiencing that from a child. But and after a while, she would just, where's the iPad? Can I watch this? Or can I have this? There is not no strings attached. It's actually, there is something attached to this whole cuddling. So we went to, on the way we left just, and we went past Par, and I said, I have to just stop there and get some stuff. She said, I'll jump out with you. I have to come with you. So I think the other one was with me as well. Oh, Yanni was with me, that's right. And I thought, you know what, you don't just want to get out here with me. There's a plan here. So on our way in, she said, no, can I have a chocolate, a sweet? Now, we have a punishment this past week, anyway, about sweets. Maybe we'll get to, I'll share that story later. But that was before. And obviously, they like faithful, good children. I don't know about your children, my children, they love sweets. So I don't know why they don't have to teach a child to do that. But anyway, so I bought two slabs of chocolate. And I thought, my one is for my wife and myself, and then the others is for the kids. They can. But somewhere, when we got into the car, and I said, okay, you have to share now. She said, no, this is mine. And I thought, okay, now we've got a problem here now. She understood the message as, well, this is only mine. And then I realized maybe I'll be the least one. I misinterpreted in my communication that this is for you and your sisters. And by the time we were leaving and we went around, we had to see some other people who pick up one of our kids. By the time we went to the around the corner, which is just a minute away from Spar, past the Diamond Village, she nearly finished half of the chocolate, just doing that, just to make sure this is mine. You know, but life is like that sometimes. This is mine. And I need to finish this as quick as possible before somebody else gets this part, you know. And we act like that in the church sometimes. This is mine. Don't interfere. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to do with my time. Don't tell me. This is my safe space. This is our family. Don't. And it's important this morning that we realize that we need to get away from that selfishness. We need to get to that place of surrendering unto Christ continuously. And hear me, you will be challenged continuously. Continuously, where you're going to take the big part of a big slice of the cake, or you're going to be content with a smaller slice of the cake. I mean, my kids are sometimes, they want to go for the big, but anyway. Romans 14, poor kids this morning, their dad used them as an example this morning to the congregation. So Romans 14, verse 1 says this, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. My sermon is filled with my kids this morning. But from time to time, I ask them to wash the dishes. You know, and the two older ones, they jump up, yes, we're going to wash dishes, okay? You probably ask me, what's the recipe? No, that's a lie, I just have to say. They're not acting like that. They're not, whoa, we're going to wash dishes. I mean, they don't see that responsibility or the task that I've asked them. They do like kids that's still in process of being formed, complaining a little bit, and then they would complain about why Victoria, the little one, doesn't have to help. It's like, why do we have to do? This is not fair, and she doesn't have to help. And the reality is that the little one wants to help, but she's making such a mess that I tell her, no, you don't get involved. Just stay there. It's just the two of you. It's funny. The one that wants to, almost say, can't. And then you've got the other two. And I thought about that, you know. We are three as well. And it took me back about my own memory sometimes when we, myself and my younger brother, that we had to do certain tasks, certain errands, and my dad would ask us certain things, and we have got this younger brother that's 4 years younger than me, and we would think, no, this is not fair, and why are you not asking him, you know? This is not right, you know? We'd have this moaning and groaning and complaining as we were growing up, but somewhere along the line between being a child into growing into becoming a parent, something opened up to me, And I realized there's a thing called age-appropriate responsibility. Age-appropriate responsibility. I guess what my dad was trying to teach us there, it was just age-appropriate responsibility. For right now, this is a task I want you to do so that he can teach you something, teach you some responsibility, but she or he is not yet ready for that. Yeah. Isn't that so true in the spiritual side as well? I have people want us to pay attention that say to me, you love Jesus, that you're so passionate in love with Jesus. And I ask you, where's your responsibility? Religion, unfortunately, has brought us to that place that taught us that we can separate relationship from responsibility. What I've seen in the life and what I've seen in church is that we're supposed to grow to that place that there's more responsibility that can be assigned to you. Because you are supposed to be more responsible today than you were responsible yesterday. Otherwise, you didn't grow. Amen? That's the reality. But somewhere religion has taught us, this is okay, sit down, enjoy, relax. It's about you. And if you don't like that, go and find it somewhere else, a place that you like. And if you don't like that, then move again to a place that you like. But somewhere in our pursuit of love, in our pursuit of loving one another, in our pursuit of growing in our love towards God, there's a place in our relationship where we need to come to the Father and say, you know what, I want to mow the lawn for you. I want to wash the dishes. Now, if it's like it happens with us in the natural, we moan a little bit sometimes, but if we can get to that place where we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, there's a place that we can become that blessing in the body of Christ to others as well. We cannot sit here this morning, people hear my heart this morning, you cannot sit here this morning confessing that you purely love Jesus, that you are in a growing relationship with Christ, and you're not assuming responsibility. You're not growing in your responsibility for God. When I say growing, it's not necessarily just moving chairs on a Sunday. I can say this to you this morning purely from my heart. I can stop doing what I'm doing on a Sunday morning, and I can just come here on a Sunday morning, just move chairs, open windows, and I will still enjoy that. Because I know, Lord, this is for you. I'm doing this. I've done this for 7 years. I still enjoy that. I still enjoy serving people. I still enjoy being part of that on a Sunday morning or somewhere during the week, giving some of me, some of what God has given me back to His people, because I love His people. I love Him and I love His people. And if we're going to separate that, we're going to be deceived. If we tell one another this morning, you know what, it's not necessary. Because the reality is, in this group this morning, there are different people sitting here. If you want to know it or not, there are weaker people and there are stronger people. Weaker in the faith, stronger in the Lord. Younger, older. And as they come and join us through that door, they may be younger, they may be weaker, maybe they're stronger, I don't know. But the reality is, what Paul says here, is you that are more spiritual, you that are supposed to be more responsible, you that are supposed to be stronger, supposed to act in the interest of the weaker one. I guess what I'm trying to teach my kids and what my dad tried to taught us is, hey, you're supposed to know better. Leave her for now. I'm teaching you something. You're the stronger one. You're supposed to learn the lesson right now. But we sometimes think, God, this is not fair. And if we want to grow in our unity this morning, then we need to take up responsibility and we need to act in the interest of the weaker one. And responsibility sometimes is just getting involved in discipleship. Sometimes just saying, you know what, I see you need Christ. I've got a few lessons up the sleeves. I've got a few tricks almost I want to say, and I have to pass it on to you. Because I have to accept responsibility for the weaker one. I have to stand in that gap. I cannot leave you down this avenue. Romans 14, verse 13 says this. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Sometimes I would say something, and my wife would hear something different. And I said, no, I didn't say that. And she said, no, but you said that. I said, no, but I didn't mean that. Or you say to somebody, you know, I said this, and you say, no, you didn't say this, and no, and then we've got this argument, but I say what I mean, and no, I didn't say, but the fact of the matter is we're communicating, and there's a gap somewhere between our communication. It happens every day. It happens in emails. I mean, sometimes you send an email out to people, and you meant that well, but somewhere how that person perceived that, interpreted that, is just a different message. That's why maybe more important when it's an important message to deliver that to the person yourself, you know, so that he can read your body language as well. But when you came here this morning, when you walked through that door, when you greeted somebody, when you worshipped, when you prayed, when you hugged somebody, you communicated something. You maybe didn't say something, but you communicated something. Every act, every step in a way that we take communicates something about where we are. I'm not saying being fake this morning. Eventually that shows. But everything in our whole being communicates something. The way I greeted you, the way, the timing. I'll step on toes here a little bit. But even when I come to church, communicate something about how I see church, how I see God. And it's just communicating a part of me that I do not understand. Because I'm not coming here for a service where the pastor is just preaching and I just need to make sure that I'm in time for the sermon. The whole thing is a part of the experiencing the presence of God. Every act that we are doing is communicating something. And Paul says to us, guys, just realize, be sensitive to the message that you are communicating. Be sensitive about this message. You see, it's not our responsibility necessarily how it's interpreted. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. It's not necessarily our responsibility because we don't have control of how our message is interpreted. But it is our responsibility this morning to determine how it could be interpreted. Can you see the difference between? We need to ask ourselves that question before we do, before we speak, before we give an opinion, before we do, is to say, you know what? Maybe I should think twice about what I'm about to say, because yes, I don't have control over that other person's interpretation and his thoughts. I don't have control over it. But if this at any given moment, doubt, and this is what Paul says, don't do it if you're not sure about this. Don't. He says, if what you're about to do is going to cause a stumbling block to that person, stop. It's an awareness, it's a consciousness continuously of, God, I'm an open letter to all out there. Wherever I walk, I'm an open letter, open book, sorry, that they can potentially read me. Now, I've missed it a lot of times. I've probably didn't have the intentions to offend people or to say certain things, and it was interpreted the wrong way, and I continuously bring that before the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, you know what? I don't know. Maybe they heard me another way. Maybe they picked it up. But Lord, if in any way I sent out the wrong message and it offended somebody, forgive me. But Holy Spirit, make me aware next time as well, more sensitive, that when I speak, when I do, that I'm sensitive to the message that I'm sending out. Without words, because it's louder than words this morning. Amen. Hi, jy moet saam preek. Almost there. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. See, you can have the right intention, the right words or message, but you have the wrong time, and you've got the wrong audience, and the work of God is torn apart. I like what Paul says. Don't tear apart the work of God in somebody else's life with your behavior, with what you say and what you do. And that puts, I don't know about you, but it puts a huge responsibility upon us as Christians, as brothers and sisters to one another, consciously being aware of the fact that I'm a book that others read. We should be sensitive not only about the message, we should be sensitive about the audience. This is what Paul says. You've got an audience here. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is reading your book. Wherever you walk, they're reading you. Tomorrow, you can sit here this morning, you can say, hallelujah, praise God. Tomorrow morning, you walk in amongst other people that probably sat here, that saw you, and your behavior there speaks louder than this. What I say, how I say it, the words I'm using, tomorrow morning speaks louder than what I did here today. Here's the thing, and I probably will step on toes, forgive me this morning, because it's necessary that we do speak about these things sometimes. We need to be sensitive people, brothers and sisters, about what we send out there. This is what Paul says. Let's fine-tune this thing this morning. I've never spoke about alcohol or the use of alcohol. Now, I'm not saying here this morning you should use alcohol. But let's suppose this is my glass of, I don't want to say gin. I'll just take this is water. Let me just drink my water first before I carry on. So here's the thing. For some of us, and I'm not giving you the okay, please hear me this morning. I'm not saying go out there and drink. That's not the message. But I do know that some has got the conviction that it's fine. You can drink your... Don't hear me as I'll go and do that. But this message about alcohol, for some, is a no. Because sin, let me just define sin for a moment. Sin is a tailor-made suit that we wear. There are certain overarching things that we're not supposed to do. Scripture is clear about. There's no black or gray area. It's black and white. You can't murder a person. That's not right for him and wrong for that. No, it's wrong. Then there are certain gray areas here, and we kill one another with days and stuff, small stuff sometimes. And Paul says, listen, you need to walk according to your conviction. Unless scripturally, it definitely forbids that. But let's take alcohol that we see in scripture there. Now that's fine. You drink your glass of wine, you drink your beer at home or within the context of a known audience where you know the people. That is fine. But here's the fact where I have a problem with this whole thing about message and audience. If I take this glass of wine, and we live in the days of social media more than ever, and I love social media, it's an amazing tool. And you might have the right intention. You might be pure. You might think, you know what, I am totally in control. I don't hit my wife and swear at my children and all this stuff when I drink just one, and I just drink one, and that's great. But I don't think it's wise, and this is maybe a bit practical and narrow maybe, to put this glass of wine on social media and say, you know what, it's a nice day, I'm just enjoying X, Y, Z. Why am I saying that? Not to spoil your fun and say, you know what, let's become legalistic and we're not doing that. I'm sending a message out as child of God into an unknown audience and leaving it for them to interpret what they want to interpret. Now, maybe that message doesn't get interpreted wrong. But I would not risk my destiny. I'm saying that to you this morning. And I advise you that we become conscious of that audience that we're sending it. I don't think it is wise to send our opinion always on Facebook or on social media out there in the world for everybody to see and hoping that they will interpret it. It's not right. I think we need to talk about stuff like that. Because somebody reads something into that. Sometimes we differ from one another. Sometimes we have an opinion, and it's fine. We can have the opinion. But we need to choose the audience. We need to choose the setting and where we talk. And talk about the differences. I'm not saying don't talk about that. If you feel, you know what, I don't like that and this business and that. Then talk about that. But talk within... Or go to the person, or go to the manager, or speak to that person, rather than just declaring it out there to the world, I'm so disappointed. I think sometimes we damage our testimony more than just getting a relief of this anger that I have right now. I just want to get it out there. And it's hovering out there, and people say, yo man, this look at the way, And it's not about spoiling fun. It's not about saying, hey, you can't do that. I'm just saying I wouldn't risk sending a message into an unknown audience, potentially sending it to somebody and saying, you know what, if he can do it, he's a child of God, he loves God, it's okay, and he stumbles. And I would not even know it until I probably get to heaven one day. And God says, you know what? And that's why I'm trying to say here this morning, guys, let's walk consciously aware of our audience at all times. We don't always see the eyes and the ears that follow us. That's sometimes, to me personally, a major challenge in terms of our responsibility that we have. We do not realize the influence we have upon people around us, just watching us, observing us. And I'm not saying become fake. I'm not saying do this here and there, but Paul said that. Paul said, become aware of the audience where you are right now. When I walk into an audience, I consciously have to ask myself, Lord, who is here with me? Do they know me? Do they know my heart? Do they know? How can they interpret that? What is the potential message that they can get? And I say to you, I've missed it probably a lot of times, but I have to be consciously aware of my message and my audience. Are there any weaker ones amongst us? Because the weaker one can interpret it the wrong way. And it's my responsibility as the stronger one to make sure I don't cause that stumbling block to the weaker one. Very quiet. Amen. Still here with me. Last scripture and we're done. It's hot in here. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something. You can put drink if it makes another person stumble. Okay? You can put your husband. I don't think, and just think about it. If your husband is an alcoholic or vice versa, I don't think it's wise as child of God that you do stuff in front of that person, whether it's your husband, whether that could potentially stumble that or make that person to stumble. It's not good for harmony. Paul writes here, and I'll end with this thought. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, distinguish between right and what edifies. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Sometimes we've got a mentality, you know what, this is right, I can do it. But the Bible and the law of love takes it a little bit further. He distinguishes between right and helpful, right and edifying. You can be right but totally be wrong just because you had the wrong timing, the wrong message at the wrong crowd, and it didn't edify that. And that's what Paul says. The moment your spirit, the moment the Holy Spirit or your conscience convicts you, stop. There's a reason why your conscience convicts you. If we move past that place where it's more about my individual preference than about the unity of the group, we're in a bad space. And what Paul is trying to say to us here, in the bigger sense, is use your liberty constructively. We are free, and I don't want to put a bondage upon people. I don't want to say, you know, you shouldn't do and you should. This is not the message this morning. Paul says, you know what, in Christ we've got freedom. But if that freedom is going to cause other people to stumble, if you say, you know, I can control this, I can handle this, I can drink this, but if that is going to cause somebody else, Lord, I'll walk away from that. Because my love for that person is greater than my love for that Tafellager or my wine or whatever. And I use just that simple example, maybe, relevant or not. Use your liberty constructively. One more scripture. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 33, he says, I do all things. Let me read it maybe. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33 says this. So whether you eat or drink, I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. Amen. I do what is best for others. And then Paul carries on in Romans 15, verse 5. He says, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as it is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise to God. To giving praise and glory to God. Isn't that beautiful? When we can come together on a Sunday morning with differences, with different opinions, uniting under one name, learning to accept one another, learning to act in the interest of the weaker one, assuming responsibility, sensitive to the message, sensitive to the audience, and using our liberty constructively. How beautiful. That's the only way how we can bring unity in our families and in our church. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. While nobody's looking around, I just want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're here this morning, you're here for the first time. Maybe you've been here for a while. But the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you, and you haven't given control over to Jesus of your life. You haven't come to that place of surrendering to Him, making that first step. Before you can grow in your unity with others and with God, you need to take that first step in accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Saying, Lord Jesus, I've lived a life for myself, my own selfish desires, and what is important to me. This morning I want to step out of that world, Lord, into your world, surrendering completely unto you. If that's you this morning, and I know nobody's looking around, I just want you to quickly raise your hand and say, Yaku, pray with me. I'm ready to take that step this morning. I'm ready to walk away from that old life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone present here this morning. I thank you for the beauty of family. I thank you, Lord, for variety. I thank you, Father, that you choose the family, that you pick every person. You handpicked every person in this building, Father. That you've given each other, Lord, and that you command us love one another. You've got no other obligation than to love one another. Father, from that place, we want to minister to one another this morning. From that place of love, in obedience to your command. I'm going to ask the ushers just to hand out the communion elements. And I'm going to ask when they hand that out for a moment that we're going to move to somebody different than you. Not your wife. He's different, or your husband, but somebody else. Okay? And I want us to pray for a moment. We take communion as we celebrate our diversity, as we celebrate what God has given us here. That's beautiful. But I want us to pray over three areas. The first is to prioritize one another or family. Spiritual family. Because it shows in our priorities. That we would prioritize our spiritual family. That we start assuming responsibility for one another. And I want to challenge you. If you are not slotted into a cell group, if you are not at a place where you've assumed responsibility spiritually for somebody else, please get to that place. I beg you, almost in a way. I cannot force you. But I do tell you that we are moving into that place of obeying God, and we've not always had it right, and we're still working on that, but you need to assume responsibility, or somebody must assume responsibility for you on a regular basis, checking up with you and say, are you okay? And the same that you're asking somebody else, because you're responsible for the weaker one as much as somebody else is responsible for you. And then Scripture talks about esteeming each other higher. That we pray over that. So those three areas, prioritizing, assuming responsibility, and esteeming each other's higher. Let's just bring that together before the Lord as we pray together as believers. And we bless each other, we consecrate one another. To Vaden, now Alino, we had just a beautiful discussion the other day. Anyway, but that we pray for one another over that areas. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.